Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king hath made an image of gold, its height 60 cubits, its breadth 6 cubits. He hath raised it up in the valley of Dura, in the province of Babylon. In the previous chapter, the Lord gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream in which his kingdom was the most powerful empire in all of world history, including all of the future world history. And the Lord represented his empire as gold. The kingdom of Jesus Christ was represented as a rock that fell from heaven. In the Bible, the Lord is often called a rock because he cannot be changed. He is immutable, which means he's not subject to his circumstances. A rock is always going to be a rock, whether you throw it in water or whether it's sitting there in a desert or whether it's on top of a mountain or buried in soil. It still remains just like it is. It's not changeable. People are very changeable depending on their circumstances, but the Lord never changes. So this eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ would never change, and it would never be dependent on circumstances to be alive. Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was gold because it was the most powerful empire until the future millennial world kingdom of Jesus Christ. But the dream was also a hint to be humble, because it showed him that although his kingdom would be the most powerful empire until the millennial reign, it wouldn't be more powerful than the kingdom of Christ that would come from heaven. Nebuchadnezzar should have humbled himself, but instead he creates a massive statue to himself that is solid gold. And maybe he got this idea from the dream that he had had and its interpretation, but he's taking a narcissistic, prideful take on that dream rather than realizing that he should humble himself before God. So now, just like the Antichrist of the future, Nebuchadnezzar is going to force everybody to bow down and worship him. Forcing all of his subjects to worship him as a god is the very same thing that the Antichrist is going to do to the world in the future. The Antichrist will say that whoever doesn't worship him and get his mark is going to be killed. And Nebuchadnezzar also will do the same thing in this chapter, which means Nebuchadnezzar is a type in this chapter of the Antichrist to come. The image that he had built was raised up in the valley of Dura in Babylon, and it's 60 cubits high, which is about 90 feet high, which is approximately 10 stories high, if it were a skyscraper. 2. And Nebuchadnezzar the king hath sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the honorable judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province, to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath raised up. So in his own province, in the capital of Babylon, he gathers all of the officials and leaders, including those who enforce the law. 3. Then are gathered the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the honorable judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province, to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath raised up. And they are standing before the image that Nebuchadnezzar hath raised up. This is also similar to the false prophet and the beast in Revelation. The false prophet tells everybody to worship the beast, and here Nebuchadnezzar is telling everyone to worship his own image. The false prophet could be the Antichrist in Revelation, telling everyone to worship his image or his government. Nevertheless, this story is a type of the Antichrist to come, meaning that it foreshadows the Antichrist to come. So all of these officials are gathered for the day of dedication, the ribbon cutting of this image. 4. And a crier is calling mightily, to you they are saying, O peoples, nations, and languages. The crier is the person who yells out the instructions to all of the people. Maybe he has a megaphone type thing, or he's standing in a place where everybody could easily hear him if he screams, which is what he's doing. And he's telling the people that this is what they have to do. And the reason he says of all nations and languages is because Babylon was an empire that oversaw other nations. And in the end times, the Antichrist will also place over all of the nations of the world. 5. And at that time that ye hear the voice of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the symphony, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and do obeisance to the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath raised up. The crier is screaming out to all these maybe tens of thousands of people that when they hear all of the music playing and all of the instruments playing in worship of this image, that they all have to fall down and worship the image themselves. 6. And whoso doth not fall down and do obeisance, in that hour he is cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. The reason that they have so many instruments playing could be to symbolize the greatness of the image, that it has to have a full symphony and all of these other expensive instruments used to worship it. Some of these instruments being named are expensive instruments that a king would have access to, but not a poor person. And the crier says that if these people don't worship this image, they will be thrown into a fiery furnace as punishment, and they will die. In the end times, the Antichrist will also kill people who don't get his mark, and his mark would be a symbol of worship. 7. Therefore, at that time, when all the peoples are hearing the voice of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, falling down are all the peoples, nations, and languages, doing obeisance to the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath raised up. This image is so huge that they know where to face when they're falling down, because again, it's 10 stories high. It's solid gold, so it probably glimmers in the sun, and it just can't be missed. And all the people in general do fall down and worship it because they don't want to be killed. 8. Therefore at that time draw near have certain Chaldeans, and accused the Jews. 9. They have answered, yea, they are saying to Nebuchadnezzar the king, O king, to the ages live. The Chaldeans who practice witchcraft are angry because some of the Jewish boys will not fall down and worship the image. So they want those boys to be thrown into the furnace. Since they themselves have fallen down to worship the image, they want those boys to also follow what they're doing. So first they say to the king, long may you live. 10. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man who doth hear the voice of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the symphony, and all kinds of music, doth fall down and do obeisance to the golden image. When all these instruments are played, which are way more instruments than would normally be played for any purpose, that makes more social pressure that this image is important and you should worship it. It isn't just one guitar or one flute. It's an entire symphony plus extra instruments. And then the peer pressure is that all of these people are doing it, so why don't the Jewish boys do it too? And today we have social pressure and peer pressure. We often get told in the media, this is what everybody believes, so if you don't believe this, you're a bigot or you're a hateful person. We also get told that if we don't go along with what the majority of society wants, that we deserve punishment. 11. And whoso doth not fall down and do obeisance is cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. They're reminding the king of his own law, saying, you said that we have to bow down and worship the image when we hear all the music, and that if we don't, that we have to go into the fiery furnace. 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast appointed over the work of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men have not made of thee, O king, any regard. Thy gods they are not serving, and to the golden image thou hast raised up are not making obeisance. In this chapter, it's interesting that they never accused Daniel. I'm certain that Daniel would not have fallen down and worshipped the beast. But remember, he was made the leader over everyone, second only to Nebuchadnezzar himself. So these evil men who were jealous of his three friends may have been too intimidated by Daniel and his position to complain about him, but they felt brave enough to complain about his three friends who were under him. And they also probably wanted to take the jobs of his three friends, but they probably didn't feel that they could ever take Daniel's position because he was given that position for his own personal wisdom and because he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. But the three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were only given their positions because Daniel requested it. They themselves did not do any personal favors to the king. And they're telling the king that these three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are refusing to worship the king's golden image. 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in anger and fury, hath said to bring in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men have been brought in before the king. 14. Nebuchadnezzar hath answered and said to them, Is it a laid plan, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? My gods ye are not serving, and to the golden image that I have raised up ye are not doing obeisance? The king is really angry, so he asks Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Are you doing this on purpose? Is it really your intention not to obey me? 15. Now lo, ye are ready, so that at the time that ye hear the voice of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the symphony, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and do obeisance to the image that I have made. And lo, ye do no obeisance. In that hour ye are cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God who doth deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar likes Daniel, and therefore he likes Daniel's friends. Plus, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are probably really good workers like Daniel is. He wants to give them the benefit of the doubt. So initially he said, Is this really true that you're not worshiping the image? And then he says, I need to see it with my own eyes. When the music starts playing, I want you to get down and worship the image so that I can see that you're really doing it. He's giving them a second chance, but he still insists that they worship this image. And arrogantly, he says, There's no God that can deliver you, so whatever God you prefer to worship, that God will not save you from the fire. Now, that's a pretty arrogant statement, since he should know that the God of Daniel is greater than he is because of the dream that he had, but perhaps he doesn't know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego serve the same God that Daniel does. 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have answered, Yea, they are saying to the king Nebuchadnezzar, We have no need concerning this matter to answer thee. 17. Lo, it is, our God whom we are serving is able to deliver us from a burning fiery furnace, and from thy hand, O king, he doth deliver. 18. And lo, not, be it known to thee, O king, that thy gods we are not serving, and to the golden image thou hast raised up we do no obeisance. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tell the king that they don't need to defend themselves. They have no argument with the king, but there's no way that their behavior is going to change. They know that their God is greater than him and all of his gods put together, and they believe their God will save them, and he's fully capable of saving them from the furnace. But they say, even if he doesn't save us, we're still only going to obey him, and we will never honor the gods that you serve. This is similar to what Job said in the book of Job when he said, Of the Lord, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What Job meant was, if God wants us to suffer, we're still going to worship him anyway. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego believe the same thing. Even if the Lord wants them to die in the furnace, they're still going to obey him anyway. This is because they understand who God is. He's our creator. He didn't have to create us. He never owed us life. He never owed us salvation. He owes us absolutely nothing. The fact that he created us is already more than we ever deserved. And the fact that we can breathe our next breath is also more than we ever deserved. And if the Lord should want us to die, and even if he should not want to save us from our own sin, he still deserves our worship and praise and our obedience because he's God. Today we have really lost the concept of who God is. We think that God owes us a favor, or that he's our equal, or that we can judge him like we judge people. But there's no human on this planet who gave you life. To judge God is extreme arrogancy. God doesn't offer salvation because he owes us anything. He'll never owe us anything. He offered salvation because he is love, and he gave us life because he is love. We never could and never will ever deserve anything that he has done. And that's why he has every right to allow us to suffer and to allow us to die, even a painful, wrongful death. When it's all in perspective, God can't do anything wrong. That's the bottom line. And it will never be right for us to betray him or belittle him. And you know what? If we can't worship him when we're suffering, then we never really loved him at all. Real love lasts through the fire and through the trial. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego know that. There's too many Christians today who only love God because he's blessed them. But when they get cancer, or when the family member dies, or when they're filing for bankruptcy, they don't love God anymore because they never knew him. They never understood who he really is. 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar hath been full of fury, and the expression of his face hath been changed concerning Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered and said, to heat the furnace 7 times above that which it is seen to be heated. Nebuchadnezzar is now even more angry because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have told him that he'll never be as good as their God. And he said that the furnace should be heated 7 times stronger. A lot of people laugh at this today and they say, ha ha ha, the Bible is a fairy tale. You can't make fire 7 times stronger. But we've lost a lot of our knowledge and a lot of our intelligence. As each generation goes by, humans are actually getting stupider and stupider. In the Middle Ages, you could get a master's degree when you were 14 years old. And 200 years ago, with a 4th grade education, you could raise a family, raise a farm, and also operate a small business. But today, there are people with PhDs who can't even successfully raise one child or balance their checkbook. We are definitely getting stupider. And also, we can't replicate the pyramids, which is more proof that we're getting stupider. They did know how to heat a fire 7 times hotter back then, but we don't know how to do it today. We believe that it must be a fairy tale, but the reality is we just don't have that knowledge anymore. The true mark of stupidity is when you don't even know how stupid you are. The furnace was heated 7 times hotter than it normally would be heated. 20. And to certain mighty men who are in his force, he hath said to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to cast into the burning fiery furnace. He picked really strong soldiers or guards, and he had them throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego straight into the furnace. 21. Then these men have been bound in their coats, their tunics, and their turbans, and their clothing, and have been cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. 22. Therefore, because that the word of the king is urgent, and the furnace heated exceedingly, those men who have taken up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, killed them, have the spark of the fire. The men who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, they burned just because they got close enough to the furnace to die. because it was that hot near the furnace because of the radiant heat. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were fully clothed and turbaned so that they would catch on fire even easier, and they were thrown in with all of their clothing. 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, have fallen down in the midst of the burning fiery furnace, bound. They were also tied up with ropes or something and thrown in there. 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king hath been astonished, and hath risen in haste, and hath answered, and said to his counselors, Have we not cast three men into the midst of the fire, bound? And they have answered and are saying to the king, Certainly, O king. The king can see the fire and the people in it, and he becomes very surprised. He stands up and asks his counselors, Didn't we throw three men in there? Now, I'm not really sure how this furnace was situated, if it was kind of like an open door furnace that was standing upright, because the king could see into it from a distance. 25. And he answered and hath said, Lo, I am seeing four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like to a son of the gods. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been tied up, yet the king can see four men walking loose, and one of them is as bright as the sun. That has to be Jesus. Jesus is in the Old Testament a lot. He just isn't named Jesus because they didn't know his name back then. But even here, Nebuchadnezzar says he looks like a son of the gods. But that's only because Nebuchadnezzar is polytheistic. There only is one God. So he was seeing the Son of God appearing even brighter than the fire. 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar hath drawn near to the gate of the burning fiery furnace. He hath answered and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of God Most High, come forth, ye come. Then come forth do Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the midst of the fire. Now this gate can't be very close, because if it were, then the king would get burned and die. And the men who threw the three servants in there got close enough to die, so they were beyond this gate. And from there he calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the furnace, probably halfway wondering if they will actually come out or who will come out. And this is also reminiscent of when Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were supposed to be dead, but they're not dead, and they're going to come out of their fiery grave. 27. And gathered together the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the counselors of the king, are seeing these men, that the fire hath no power over their bodies, and the hair of their head hath not been singed, and their coats hath not changed, and the smell of fire hath not passed on them. When the three men came out without Jesus, because he disappeared, their clothing was not burnt, their hair wasn't burnt, and they didn't smell like smoke, proving that absolutely nothing on them had burned, not even some eyelashes. 28. Nebuchadnezzar hath answered and hath said, Blessed is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his messenger, and hath delivered his servants who trusted on him. And the word of the king changed, and gave up their bodies, that they might not serve nor do obeisance to any god except to their own God. The king blessed the Lord and acknowledged that he was the great God. And the king says that it was an angel that was sent to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So it could have been an angel or Jesus. I like to believe that it was Jesus. The king also says that from now on, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will have permission from the king to only worship their God and nobody else. This is the second time that Nebuchadnezzar has been humbled by the Lord. He was humbled when he received the interpretation to his dream, and now he's been humbled a second time when he saw that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saved by the Lord from the fire. But unfortunately, Nebuchadnezzar is a diehard narcissist, and he's going to have to be humbled again in future chapters. 29. And by me a decree is made, that any people, nation, and language that doth speak erroneously concerning the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, pieces he is made, and its house is made a dunghill, because that there is no other God who is able thus to deliver. The king also makes a law that you cannot dishonor the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he says it's because that God could deliver them when no other God could have. So Nebuchadnezzar is acknowledging that all the gods that he worships could have never saved somebody out of the fire, which means all the gods that Nebuchadnezzar worshipped had never brought anyone back to life either. 30. Then the king hath caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. They were already three of the highest officials in Babylon, and now he's caused them to prosper even more. They probably have, I don't know, salary increases, or he gave them gifts of property. Whatever he did, they were blessed by their witness for the Lord. And that concludes Daniel chapter 3.